We will have a very wonderful text here. Today's sixth chapter. Yes. Oh, it's a strong text. Jaya Radha. Jaya Radha. Madhava Kunyavi Hari. Madhava Kunya Vihari. Gopi jana vallava girivara dhari. Gopi jana vallava Girivara Dhari. Yasoda Nandana Raja Jana Dandana. Yasoda Nandana Raja Jana Dandana. Yamuna Tira Vanachari. Yamuna Tira Vanachari. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunya Vihari. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunya Vihari. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunya Vihari. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Jaya Prabhu. Prabhupada, 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 Tila, Prabhupada. Jaya Radha Madan Mohan, Radha Madan Mohan, Radha Madan Mohan, Sri Radhe. Sri Radha Madan Mohan ki jai. Gaur Prema Nandi Hari 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 Bo Hare Krishna. Let me welcome all of you to this morning class, which I do hope will be useful for your spiritual life. Before I start, I just have to do two things, please excuse me, but you know, for someone like me, life is a constant travel. So we will start our journey today. I just need to just do two things. If I don't do them, a catastrophe will start. So good, and fine. Good. Now, can I please request Valentina to come to me after the lecture, and Agastya, ich glaube, ich sehe dich dort. Genau, mit unser Ananka Manjati wird da, sehe ich sie. Ja, kommt ihr bitte im Anschluss an die Vorlesung kurz zu mir. Schön. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Vaya Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. We are reading this morning from the 6th canto of the Bhagavatam, chapter 7, text 14. Please repeat. Desham kapata deshtrinam
Desham kapata deshtrinam
Patatam tamasi yada
Patatam tamasi yada
Yesha dadyur vachaste vai Yadadyur vachaste vai Madhyantyashma plavaiva Tesham kapata adishtrinam patatam tamasi yada yesha dadyur vachaste vai majantyashma plavaiva Yes, please. Yes, maybe a Vaishnavi can chant. Madhyantyashma plavaiva. Thank you. Tesham. Of them, the misleaders. Kupata deshtrinam. Who show the path of danger. Patatam. Themselves falling. Tamasi. In darkness. He indeed, adaha, down, ye, anyone who, shadadyuhu, place faith in, vachaha, the words, te, they, why, indeed, Majanti, sink, Ashma Plavaha, boats made of stone, Eva, like. Wow, this is the most amazing pair of glasses I ever saw in my life. Ooh, works. Leaders who have fallen into ignorance and who mislead people by directing them to the path of destruction, as described in the previous verse, are in effect boarding a stone boat, and so too are those who blindly follow them. A stone boat would be unable to float and would sink in the water with its passengers. Similarly, those who mislead people go to hell and their followers go with them. Oh, heavy. So just think of the image. People who are misleading others, they lead their followers into a stone boat. It promises to bring them to an auspicious destination, but of course the stone boat will sink and everyone, including the mice and the rice and the everything, will fall in the water and drown there as well. This is the problem of misleaders and misled. So it is. Let us study, read the purport. As stated in the Vedic literature, Nride hamadyam sulabam sudulabam plavam sukalpam gurukanadaram. We, the conditioned souls, have fallen in the ocean of nations. But the human body fortunately provides us a good opportunity to cross the ocean because the human body is like a very good boat. When directed by a spiritual master acting as the captain, the boat can very easily cross the ocean. Furthermore, the boat is helped. Can you imagine by what a boat receives help? I'm sorry? Favorable winds, yes, yes. Furthermore, the boat is helped across by favorable winds, which are the instructions of Vedic knowledge. If one does not take advantage of all these facilities to cross the ocean of nations, he is certainly committing suicide. One who boards a boat made of stone is doomed. I can't even imagine getting into a stone boat, but this is the image. One who boards a boat made of stone is doomed. To be elevated to the stage of perfection, humanity must first give up false leaders who present boats of stone. Well, this would be a good title for a song of Michael Jackson, maybe, or of Rinaldo. No, Rinaldo doesn't sing. Maybe in the bathroom, but not professionally. All of human society is in such a dangerous position that to be rescued, it must abide by the standard instructions of the Vedas. The cream of these instructions appears in the form of Bhagavad Gita. One should not take shelter of any other instructions, for Bhagavad Gita gives direct instructions on how to fulfill the aim of human life. Lord Krishna therefore says, Sarvadhammam parityajamam ekam sharanam braja. Give up all other processes of religion and simply surrender to me. Even if one does not accept Lord Krishna as the Supreme Personality of Godhead, his instructions are so exalted and beneficial for humanity that if one follows his instructions, one will be saved. This is amazing. I did not. The Gita has so much wisdom that even if there is, say, someone who is not inclined to accept Krishna as the Supreme Personality of Godhead, if he just follows these wisdom teachings in the Gita, it is beneficial for them. That's why the Bhagavad Gita, I don't know if you knew it, but it's one of the books which are it's called world literature. That means that the best books the world has produced, the Gita is one of them. I was very, very happy to find this out recently. So good. Otherwise, if one does not follow Krishna's instruction, one will be cheated by unauthorized meditation and gymnastic methods of yoga. Thus one will board a boat of stone, which will sink and drown all its passengers. Unfortunately, although the American people are extremely eager to get out of materialistic chaos, they are sometimes found to patronize the makers of stone boats. That will not help them. They must take the proper boat offered by Krishna in the form of the Krishna Consciousness Movement. Wow, Prabhupada is a preacher. Can you see, feel that? Can you feel his pulse? No? Then they will be easily saved. In this regard, Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur comments, Ashmamaya plavo yesham te yata majantam plavam anu majanti tateti raja niti upedeshtreshu Sabeeshu kapo vanjita. If society is guided by political diplomacy, with one nation maneuvering against another, it will certainly sink like a stone boat. Political maneuvering and diplomacy will not save human society. People must take to Krishna consciousness to understand the aim of life, to understand God, and to fulfill the human mission. Namo Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Pestaya Bhutale Shimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Niti Namini. You may join me if you have respect for Srila Prabhupada, and I think many of you have. Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pacharini Nirvashesha Shunyavari Paskatyade Satani Jai Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Garadha Shivasadi Govaktavinda Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Krishna Chaitanya Maharaj introduced us to a very wonderful format in which we can enter deeper into the Bhagavatam, and I would like to use it, yes, use it for this lecture. It's a very traditional format which we hear in various scriptures, so it is very useful for all of us. So when you hear such a text, you first of all hear it, you see, what does it say? Well, it says quite frankly that misleaders are not only suffering themselves, but those who follow them suffer the same fate as them. Now, this, I think, if we take it as an isolated statement, we are quickly done with this statement. Yeah, it's very clear what is the statement. But we should now see what is the context. In what context is this verse appearing? The verse is appearing in a very dramatic fallout between guru and disciple. Indra, whose spiritual master is Brihaspati, had failed to acknowledge him when Brihaspati came in to his, the big hall where his throne was situated. Brihaspati had seen him from the corner of the eye, but he was so absorbed in his own life, his own world, that he had not recognized him, he had not greeted him, he had not acknowledged his presence, and Brihaspati, as a result, there must have been something brewing in their relationship. I don't think it was a very good relationship. Otherwise, Brihaspati would not have acted so harshly. Brihaspati got out of the hall and just went away. So Indra is a highly developed being, you know. He saw, wow, my spiritual master has turned his back to me. What do I do now? He immediately wanted to correct his mistake, and he left, he jumped up, he went through the hall. He asked, has anyone seen where Brihaspati went, which way he took? And when people said, no, we did not see Brihaspati, and we didn't see in which direction he went away. Then Indra thought, probably he's at home. So he quickly went to his home. He wanted to say, I'm very sorry, I'm a little bit... I was covered, but I saw him. I have understood my mistake. I sincerely asked you to not take it so much, so personally. But when he wanted to do this, but when he arrived at home, Brihaspati was not there, and none of his other disciples who lived with Brihaspati knew where the guru had gone. And then Indra understood a very, very important lesson. He said that maybe people who say one who is situated on the exalted throne of a king does not need to stand up to show respect to another king or a brahmana. But someone who thinks like this does not really understand superior religious principles. Now you might ask, what are these superior religious principles? Srila Prabhupada explains it or hints, gives us a hint when he quotes this important verse, Nideham Atya Sulabham Sudurlabham. The verse says, it's very rare to get a human form of life. It's very rare. It is a special boon. The other forms of life, the non-human form of lives, are by far in the majority. So, but even rarer than being born as a human being with all these amazing facilities, this amazing intelligence, amazing senses, this very capable body to do many, many things. Even rarer than this is to meet in the human form of life a great soul who can guide us in our spiritual life, and who can act as a captain of a boat, the human form of life, that can bring us over the ocean of birth and death. And this verse which Prabhupada quotes gives this imagery. If you have a human body, you are able to cross the ocean if you have the guidance of a captain who knows how to steer it. Steering is especially important, of course. If you want to come to a far distant goal, then you need a captain who can read the stars and has an orientation to go. And second, if you have favorable wind, then the sailing goes very well. So Indra is a stone boat, and anyone who gets on his boat will sink. But those who actually apply the gift of the human form of life by taking the instructions of Guru and the favorable winds of Krishna's instructions as they are given in the Shastras, then they can very nicely cross the ocean of material existence. So this is the subject and the context. Indra understood it. I have turned my chance into a sinking boat. I have not made good use of my particular body, and therefore I don't know what will be my destiny. He was really, really shocked and afraid, and he was really I think, and we would say, mental about it. You know, he was thinking back and forth. So Krishna Chaitanya Maharaj has told us also, good, this is the context, we have it. Now let us see, does something resonate here? Are there other passages which will, on this subject, which will enrich our understanding further? And therefore it's very important, if you want to apply the second step, it's very important that you become a regular reader, because if you don't know the scriptures well, you can't apply this second step where you find some resonance. Yes, there is a resonance. I found one reference, but there are many also. It's a prayer which the demigods, like Indra, these highly high beings, say to Lord Krishna when he has just appeared. He's still in the womb of Devaki, and they all know soon the Lord will manifest his pastimes and we will be able to assist him. Let us already glorify him while he's in the womb, because he's different from an ordinary infant. He can understand everything. So they come to him and say, Svayam samutiya sudushtaram dyumam bhavanavam bhimam ataprasurida bhavatpadam ruha navam. Navam means boat. Atrate nidaya jata sat anugraho bhavan. O Lord, they say. Let's have some music for this. O Lord, who resemble the shining sun, you are always ready to fulfill the desire of your devotee. And therefore, you are known as a desire tree, Vancha Kalpataru. You are a desire tree, my Lord. When acharyas completely take shelter under your lotus feet in order to cross the fierce ocean of nescience, they leave behind on earth the method by which they cross. And because you are very merciful to your other devotees, you accept this method to help them. So the image is very wonderful. It's another boat image. The first was referring to our human existence. Now the second image refers to crossing a difficult watery passage to get to the other shore. So the most difficult water is the ocean of birth and death. Oh, it really is intense. My dear devotees, in the lockdown period, I have prayed for so many dying people. If I could be traumatic, I could make you traumatic if I would tell you all the circumstances in which people died, and which came to my attention because I was requested to pray for them. Difficult material existence, birth and death is definitely there, but it can be crossed when we have the proper boat, which is the method, which or the process of Krishna consciousness, which the acharyas give. Now this image is very, very nice. I remember the Jamuna. There is one in Vrindavan. There is a yogi who is very advanced. He is the disciple of Devahara Baba. Maybe you know him. This is a Baba who became 360 years old. He has left the body under Radharani's shelter. So his disciple who continues his ashram is Devadas. He's an imposing figure. He has dreadlocks. When he opens them, they come to the ground, and I didn't measure, but maybe 2 meters more. You know, he has a lot of Shakti. Tejas, he's very kind, like a very educated person. He speaks good English also, and he leads this ashram. He was serving this mystical yogi who didn't even eat anything. He just drank milk and was, yeah. I can tell you another time about him. So he has become my friend. This Devadas. Friend is, he likes me, I like him. He has given me a lot of Ayurvedic consultation. These yogis know a lot. But to reach him, his ashram is on the other side of the Yamuna. So the Yamuna there is... It's difficult to cross the Yamuna because she's very wide, at least in the times when I am in Vrindavan. Maybe in summer it's possible to cross, but not when she has so much water. And, you need a boat. So on the side, there's a boatman, really traditional. It's really nice. It's out in the midst of nowhere, so you have to get to the boatman. Now, then he will bring you into his boat, and then he will row you across to the Yamuna. Now, unfortunately, there's a new boatman. He has a motor, all these modern things come also into Vrindavan. But the old boatman, he was rowing you. It took a long time, and it was very scenic. You would see the sun going down, and it was very beautiful. So he would take you across. And if he would not be there, then he would leave a piece of paper, which I couldn't read because it's in Hindi, where he says where he is, so you can find him there, and then he will help you. But this is a good image for us also. The boat to cross the ocean of birth and death is given. It's the process of Krishna consciousness. You can have it. You can go inside. You can go in it. But sometimes you need someone who knows to navigate the boat, and you need the boatman, the captain. That's why it's so important to have a guru who helps you to apply the teachings of the Vedic scriptures so that you can make full use of it and know what is now relevant for you at this moment in your sadhana. Good. The acharyas have given such a boat, and you can find it and cross with their help the ocean of birth and death. Yes, this is one point which I wanted to say, but now when you reflect about this and go one level deeper, you will find amazing treasures in this Bhagavatam text. What is the point here? The point here really is respect. And why is respect important? It is because then blessings can flow. Blessings in our spiritual life, some of you have heard it already, but it's good to hear it again, are more important than your own efforts. You can be very exact in the execution of sadhana bhakti. You can rise early in the morning. You can chant extra rounds. You can you know, you can be very disciplined, very determined. And all this is very helpful. Let us not undervalue this. But ultimately, if you have no blessings, you can't move forward. You will stand still in your understanding and also in your spiritual accomplishments. You won't learn more than you know already. It's almost like when the boat is on the ocean. Yes, there may be even the captain inside. Everything may be good, but if it's an old boat, a sailing boat, if there is no wind, the boat will not really move forward. That's why this image is given, the sailing boat. You need strength or help from above, help from the Shastras. The Shastras give you insights, but these people, like gurus, I will say in the plural number, they can give you blessings. And life is so easy when you receive these blessings. Everything goes forward so nicely. There is a very good example in Lord Krishna's pastimes, which I found for you. I want to tell you a little bit about Krishna's morning routine, because you will get the point that even Krishna himself wants blessings, or he shows how important blessings are. I don't think we should say he wants blessing. We should say he shows in his Leela how important blessings are. Now, he would get up very early at Brahma Muhurta time. That's just before sunrise. And his queens who were with him would curse this hour because they were embracing their Lord at that time. And when Brahma Muhurta came, they could hear the cocks making their sound, kikiriki, in the morning in Dwaraka, apparently. And they would curse deep. They are roosters. These kikiriki people. They are roosters. Ah, curse you, rooster! Why don't you sleep, rooster ji? Don't make your sound, you know. So, but Krishna would get up unfailingly. He would chant the Gayatri Mantra, and then he would meditate about the Supreme Brahman, which was basically him. Do not meditate about yourself. This part you cannot imitate. But he must start his day with meditation. It was very interesting. So, and then after he had completed his morning routine, he would go out of his palace and he would distribute flower garlands, pen and sandalwood paste to the brahmanas. He would give these gifts also to his friends, ministers, and wives. And finally, he would put sandalwood paste on himself. He was just so nice. By then, Daruka would have arrived. Do you know who is Daruka? The chariot driver, yes. He had brought the chariot, which was drawn by four powerful horses. I remember two names. Sugriva was one horse. Megha Pushpa means the flower of the cloud was another horse. This horse was a little darkish. They were very powerful, very energetic, very joyful to see Krishna, and Krishna would pet them and greet them as well. And then he would go into his wonderful chariot, yoked with Sugriva and his other horses. He had his horses. They were just Krishna's horses. His charioteer would bow down to the Lord and then stand before him. very submissively. And then Lord Krishna, as if he would, you know, would depend on his chariot driver, would take the hand of Daruka as a help, and he would mount the chariot together with Satyaki. Satyaki was a great Kshatriya, who was trained by Arjuna, and he was Arjuna's disciple, in fact. And who else would come with him on the chariot? Do you have any idea who's always with Krishna in Dwaraka? Not the queens, Rukmini and Satyabhama, they would stay, and all the others would stay back. Who do you think would go with Krishna on his chariot? Uddhava, yes, Uddhava. Do you know everything? You know so many things about Krishna. That's very nice. And it would look, when Krishna would go up on the chariot, people would see this. It would look as if the sun was rising. He looks just so beautiful. And everyone says, just let's look at Krishna. You know, they would go. And then, what then? The palace woman would look upon Lord Krishna with shy, loving glances. Very shy, but loving. And thus, Krishna would have difficulty to start his journey, because the text here says he would get free from them only with great difficulty. That's natural, I think. When someone loves you so much and expresses it through their glances, then you can't just bring it over your heart to just leave like that. It's not possible. So he would then, but then finally he would tell Daruka, Chelia, let's go. And his smiling face captivated everyone's mind who remained back. So Krishna would go each morning. Where do you know his route? Where his route would end? Yes, there was the Sudama Assembly Hall, where all the Vrishnis and Yadavas, princes, were staying. It was an amazing hall. If you would enter this hall, you would not feel the miseries of material life any longer. That was not possible. So there were many things happened in this hall, the Bhagavatam describes. But then I come to the point I wanted to bring to you. There was a messenger, and when the messenger had spoken, in the hall there had been some discussion. A messenger had arrived and there was some discussion. Suddenly, Narada appeared. He was bearing a mass of golden matted locks on his head. And the supremely effulgent sage Narada, who had all these, he had a bunch of hair. Who has a bunch of hair here? No one, even the Matajis don't have such an impressive bunch of hair. It was very long, matted. He came in, he looked like another sun. He came in. Do you know what Krishna did at that moment? Lord Krishna, who is the worshipable master of even planetary rulers like Lord Brahma and Lord Shiva, as soon as he saw that Narada Muni had arrived, he joyfully stood up along with his ministers and secretaries to receive the great sage and offer his respectful obeisances by bowing his head. And then Krishna, he was sitting there, he was doing important governmental activities. There comes the saint in the hall, and what does Krishna do? He gets up, and all his ministers get up. They are properly trained. Maybe if they didn't do it, Krishna would give remind them that you need to respect these great brahmanas and saints. And he offers Narada Muni a high elevated seat and honors him by bathing his feet. And just imagine if, let us say, a saintly person would enter the... I think you all are saintly persons, but if Krishna Chaitanya Maharaj, I can think of him, or Kadamba Kanana Maharaj, or any saintly person would enter, if I would continue to not to speak as if nothing happened, it would not be good. Krishna shows one has to get up. In fact, all of you would, according to this example, would have to get up also and greet the saint and then give him a seat. I guess when it is a Bhagavatam class, we may not have to do this. Why not? Because we are trying to worship the Bhagavatam as good as we can. And therefore Krishna is in the center here. And we pay him the topmost attention. But there can be different perspectives on this. So let us just stick with the example Krishna gives here. And my dear devotees, he didn't just do it in political, in the assembly hall. Krishna did do it also in private situations. For instance, when he was with his wife, Rukmini or Satyabhama or the other wives, who are actually Lakshmis, goddesses of fortune. When he was privately in his room, and the great saint Narada entered there also, Krishna immediately got up. He stopped everything he was doing to greet Narada. Another time, Narada, who was curious to inspect Krishna, he came into another palace, and he saw how Krishna was playing chess with Uddhava. And the moment he entered, Krishna again went up and respected him as if he had not done so already earlier in the day. Because Krishna himself wants to establish this principle. Blessings are more powerful than your own efforts. And it's really important for us to receive these blessings. The Bhagavatam speaks about this particular aspect of Krishna's Leela. You, it says, the Supreme Lord descends to this world in various personal forms, and by performing your pastimes, O Krishna, you illumine the soul's paths with the blazing torch of your fame. Therefore, I surrender unto you. In other words, what Krishna does is, yes, it is Leela, just play, but also embedded in this Leela, sometimes are instructions for all of us, which illumine our way through the dark spheres of material avidya. No? And if we understand this example of Krishna, which Krishna has given, we can actually follow this example and we can make our life glorious and wonderful. What do you think? Isn't that ecstatic? So these pastimes of Krishna are so wonderful. They give us instruction, but I believe more so they give us an attraction. Krishna, Prabhupada wrote about how important it is to study the pastimes of Krishna. He said in Krishna book, chapter 90, the transcendental pastimes of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna, are so powerful that simply by hearing, reading, and also memorizing, you should also remember. Like when there is a class and we want to know something, you should not be able to contribute something. You should not just be like, okay, let me be entertained. No, you should participate. No, be there with your intelligence and your heart. No, the transcendental pastimes of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna, are so powerful that simply by hearing, reading, and memorizing this book, Krishna, one is sure to be transferred to the spiritual world, which is ordinarily very difficult to achieve. The description of the pastimes of Lord Krishna is so attractive that it automatically gives us an impetus. Impetus means like a kick, you know, to study repeatedly. And the more we study the pastimes of the Lord, the more we become attached to Him. This very attachment to Krishna makes one eligible to be transferred to His abode, Goloka Dham. Yes, it says here, Goloka Vrindavan, it says actually. So, my dear devotees, in today's verse we learned something. Indra regretted his mistake because he disrespected Brihaspati, and then he could see, oh, now I'm in danger. My boat, which is a capable boat to cross the ocean of birth and death, has turned into a stone boat. Oh, and now I sink. Have you sometimes experienced that your life turns into a stone boat? I see you and I know you and I have talked to you at the time when your boat has gone down to the ground. My dear devotees, let's be a little bit let's respect this human form of life. This is a song which it says, who will go, who will go? Oh, who will go, oh brothers, across the ocean of material existence? A free ferry boat operates at the port of my Gauranga. Even the old, the blind, and the crippled people are crossing over. Hari Nam is the boat. Shri Guru is the helmsman. It means like captain. And the upraised arms of the Sankirtan party are the oars. All jivas are crossing over by the favorable winds of prema. Only Lochandas, due to his own fault, has been left behind. Ke jobi, re bhai, bhava shinubhara, dhanya kali yugera, chaitanya avatar. Yes, very sung in Bengali language. My dear devotees, I don't know how far I will go in the boat of human life before the death comes. I don't know. I cannot say. I have high aspirations, but I don't know how far I can go before this physical end is coming. And I know then comes a pause. I don't know how quick I will be able to get a new human body, but then after some time, then I will sit in the womb of another mother. Then there will be childhood, and most probably with my disposition, it will be again a wild childhood, playing day and night, and no one can bring me into bed. because so much play is necessary as for someone. And then maybe I meet again Guru, Shastras, and so on. When I think about this life with the perspective of reality, that yes, this will be over, there will be death, yes, it will come, then I was thinking this morning, I have such a rare opportunity now. My boat is the boat, everything is there, Prabhupada is there, Shastras are there. Usually where I am, there are many books available. I can just turn around. Whoop, there's a book. Whoop, there's another book about Krishna consciousness. I feel I have a rare opportunity for sailing, a rare opportunity which comes to so few people. And I want to make sure I use it properly, because I don't know what will happen afterwards. I can't say. Maybe Krishna is also very merciful. My dream is if I could die in the dust of Vrindavan, then that is very nice. But maybe I will die in a disco in Frankfurt while trying to preach to the people in there. Of course, then, if I die preaching, that would be wonderful. That would also be wonderful. Krishna's milosti, he's very merciful. But maybe I will die not so glorious, yearning for Schwarzwälder Kirschtorte, not getting it, and then I die. Hare Krishna. So my point here is, let's use the human form of life, which is a gift, and there's this further gift of a guru and shastra who train us. Let's use it for good sailing. Let's make it a good life, you know. Where I live, it's on the bank of a lake, and when there is a good wind, I see many boats. They go zoop the one direction. They go very fast. Sometimes they come just near to our house, just 5 meters away. They go very fast. And I encourage the people who sail, do you know that there's another boat? But then zoop, they're already somewhere else. Let's use this human form of life properly. Krishna. And yesterday, a very encouraging discussion with Vishwadev. We feel that the project is really blessed, Radha Madan. You can't believe when those who come to take part in our festivals, they are so absolutely impressed. There was this group from Netherlands, from Holland, all very intelligent, highly placed, you know, they have high-paying jobs. And they were the first time there. And one was a Brijbasi of these Indians, a Brijbasi lady. When they came as a group, this lady chanted the Radha Kripa Kataksha Stava for me. And she said, Maharaj, I really feel I have been so many years away from Braj because I married in Netherlands, but I feel I was in Braj by visiting Goloka Vrindavan. She had tears in her eyes. And she said, where was I all these years? I'm now back with Radha and Krishna. She's a practicing devotee also. So here is such a wonderful place, and it would be nice if we could have retreats or festivals. more often, if that could be our service to the fallen souls. Because why do I say this would be so nice? There's a secret. When you share Krishna consciousness with others, you get it. You get the secrets of Krishna consciousness. You get what is called bhakti with some rasa, with some taste in Krishna consciousness. That happens when you give it away, strangely. You know, when you give it away, your bhakti becomes more. That's spiritual. Good. It was a nice time again being your guest. Madame Mohan was so merciful to give us sunshine. Have you seen? This is rare. And spring atmosphere. I saw in the time of where I was here, the trees just before the house have blossomed. So wonderful. Just in 4 days. Because there was sun and so much kripa here. Do you remember when we went on Sunday before the altar, there were these pots, and out of these pots the mercy was flowing down to all of us. Krishna. So yes, so please, while you're here, think about this point of obtaining the blessings of the deities. Pray regularly as a sign of your, as a sign that you want to enter a relationship with the deities. And I think you will be blessed to do many, many wonderful things. There's so much opportunity, and we are also so grateful that the devotees from Ukraine have come here. Of course, we are not unhuman war is really not a happy occasion, but that you are here is a happy occasion. So wish you all the best, and see you very soon. Jamashtami is almost tomorrow. Almost. See you very soon, and I will end here. I think the point is clear. Does anyone have a question on blessings? I see Vaijajanti has and Gaurahari. If it's all right with you, I will stay with these two questions because we have to go and I still have to pack and do everything. Yes, Vaijajanti, please speak.
Thank you very much for the lecture. And my question is about blessings. So if you can explain the Father, how we can it is a gentle and effective way of praying for blessing and asking for blessing.
Yeah. A rule in wanting to obtain blessing is you have to show with your life that you're very eager to get them. This comes in Brihad Bhagavatamrita, where Maharaj Parikshit talks to his mother Uttara on this point. You have to somehow get the blessings of the devotees, he says to his mother. And then he says, you must be very eager to this. You cannot, you know, it's not like sometimes devotees come with a gulab chanun, with a sweet in their hand, and come to me, oh Maharaj, give me your blessing. And I say, it's very difficult. I need to see that you are very eager. Then I mean, I can't. It blessings is a flow, you know. And a flow, I always give this example, Vaijajanti, a flow, the water can only flow under certain circumstances. I need to also drink, so I will combine two things in one. Look, Vaijajanti, this cup has to be under, it has to be slightly down here, and then it can receive the water. So if someone wants to have blessings, they need to be in the right position so that it can flow. The person may want to give blessing, but like this water bottle is full. Gaurahari filled it before coming here. There is enough water inside it there, but it can't give the water if the cup is here, you know. It has to be in the right position. So as disciples who want maybe blessings from our spiritual master, or as devotees who want blessings from, you know, the three core, guru, sadhu, and Hari, you know, the Lord himself, we have to enter that right relation so that it can flow. We can receive it. So that is important. And eagerness has to, I mean, eagerness is not so easy to come by. You have to bring your life into a context where you can have a vision of reality, where you're not so distracted from the reality of Krishna consciousness. Otherwise, you can't value Krishna consciousness when you are not in the right, you know, when you don't do service, when you're not trying to please the devotees. You have to tune yourself so that you can value Krishna consciousness. I once preached to two mountain climbers. They knew something about Krishna consciousness, but they had difficulties to apply it. They didn't see the value of Krishna consciousness. So they were standing on a mountain. It was a split. It was actually two devotees, I can tell you. Two nice devotees, but all over. They're filmmakers, these devotees. Very successful. They are, I don't know if you know, Brad Pitt. You know, is a very well-known American actor. Brad Pitt came to them and congratulated them. They have won a few very good prizes in a special form of avant-gardistic movies. You know, it's not so mainstream like the Hollywood movies. So, anyways, but in this genre, they are very good. So they were there. They had a lot of gear to climb the mountain. You know, this pike, then the hammer, and nail—not nails. I don't know how to call them. You know, and yeah. But instruments for climbing, and they were heavily guarded. They were full of this ropes and haken and pike, and ich weiß nur in Deutsch, and all these things you need for mountain climbing. And they were getting ready to climb this high wall. And I said, see, if you know how to use this gear, Ausrüstung, then it's very helpful. But if you don't know how to use it, it's just a burden. So in the same way, if you know how to use all these amazing instructions of Krishna consciousness, they are very, very helpful. These rules, you know, to get up early and to chant the rounds and to read and to do all the things which we do. They're very helpful if you know how to use it. But if you lack the vision how to use it, it's just a heavy burden. Or someone, you know. So in the same way, when you have the vision, the right understanding, how to use the practice of Krishna consciousness, it's so wonderful, it's so helpful, and so on. But if you don't have this vision, because you're too distracted, either in your own little world of Ahamma Meti, I and mine, or in anything, you know, you're distracted, then you just don't see the value of this. You think, let's get rid of this. Let's be free of these things. And, but then you can't climb the wall. You can't cross the material ocean of birth and death. So I told them, and recently one of the two brothers, they are twin brothers, one of the two brothers, the Popoviches, came to me and said, "You know, Maharaj, when you came and we were just getting ready to climb this wall, and you told us this, somehow in that moment it went through. We could understand, yes, let's be a little bit more disciplined with this Krishna conscious practice. Let us use it." And we every day we hear the Bhagavatam now, we study the Bhagavatam with wisdom of the sages, Raghunath and Kostuba, and we like it really. We will come to the Italian retreat and we are really into the fire. But it came all when you told us the Krishna conscious practice is not a burden when you know how to use it for your purpose. So yes, you need to know how to get blessings. And this is basically you need to build your eagerness for blessings. It can't be on the second place, third place, fourth place. It has to be burning in you. Then it will come. Gaura Hari. Gaura Hari will get the microphone.
I was wondering, you spoke of offering respect to the spiritual master. And I see when the spiritual master come, or great devotee, then it's very natural and very easy to offer respect. Just wonder, in the sight of a community like we are, how do we do to keep respectful attitude toward other devotees who are maybe not in the level of guru or very exalted devotee? How we can cultivate this respect toward everyone and also this appreciation toward other devotees?
Yes, you need to know the art of reframing. Often when you are in a close community and you are strong individuals, you get on each other's nerves. At that time, you need to see if you can have another vision that, okay, we are here on this project, our goal is a very nice goal, and we need each other. Do I still like the goal? The goal is to become Krishna conscious and to share Krishna consciousness with others. At that time, you can tolerate each other's differences. I yesterday talked to two very wonderful and very advanced devotees, and there was a disappointment with another devotee, a strong disappointment. Not here, don't worry. And yes, I know, this is a real thing. I know that this devotee with whom this couple had difficulties is difficult at times. I know that it's a legitimate, justified problem. And I told them, just see, can you still agree with a greater vision, which then you could, which brought you together with this devotee? And if you can, then you will find out some ways how to avoid die Reibungsfläche. You know, there is always a point in us and the point in the other, when we come together on this point, vroom, we explode like a match, you know, a trick. And you have to see how you can avoid these moments, which usually repeat itself. You have to be creative. You're intelligent. I don't know how to do that, but it needs to sometimes. You know, you have to just see, okay, here on this point, we can't agree, and there will be again a problem, so let's avoid this problem. Or if someone needs to deal with this area, then it can't be me, it has to be someone else who can get along with that devotee. Yeah. But the main point is, Gaurahari and everyone, I would have left the Krishna Conscious Institution since many times and since many years already, if I would not agree with the purpose of the teachings. I'm totally enthusiastic. And that helped me to get over moments where I felt misunderstood or hurt. No? So you go from the small problem, which is there, and go into the big picture again. I think many of you older devotees are here only because you could do this. You could go from the small moments, small hurts, into the bigger picture. And you need to do that again and again and again to stay enthusiastic. Good. Time has come to say goodbye. All the best to all of you. And Hare Krishna.